Good morning, Siwa. Hope you guys are all doing well. I just want to welcome you all here and just want to invite you all to worship with us this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
One last time.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
As we light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus is the light of the world. And now, a responsive reading from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zeno Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. And at this time, I'm going to ask everybody to unmute yourselves. As you unmute, please say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. So on the count of three, we are going to say collectively, good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. No justice, no peace. One, two, three.
Good morning, sister.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother.
No peace.
No peace.
Excellent. You can go ahead and mute yourselves. We want to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here at Church Without Walls. Welcome to our community. We are a community that follows Jesus, loving God, the Bible, our neighbor, and the world. And if you would like more information about our church community, you can go down to the chat box and, you know, ask your questions. Or if you simply want to be added to our email list, you can go ahead and put your information there too. Or you can go to our website and do it there. Just want to remind folks a couple of things. If you don't already, please go and grab your communion elements. Again, that can be bread, juice, or wine. It can be coffee and a cracker. It can be water and a chip. Whatever you have will work out, but just make sure you have that ready for communion later in celebration. Also, just want to remind folks, if you haven't already, get your signs ready or get your signs made. So again, email, get your signs ready, get your signs made. We will also be getting to those later on in the celebration. And then I just want to remind folks, especially those folks who are visitors or newcomers, later in today's service, we will be breaking out into smaller groups. So be prepared for that. All right, so we have a few announcements. I am going to throw it over to Karen for our first announcements, then I will be returning. So Karen, take it away.
Hello, church. I just wanted to let you guys know and remind you today at 4, we will have our first ever So You Think You Can Dance CWOW version. So I want to invite all of you because you can also take part by voting. We have a number of contestants. We have individuals, family, mother and daughter team. So I want you to join us to cheer them on. And the winner actually gets a prize. And I also will get to interview the judges, the contestants. So it will be really fun. So I want to remind you, it's at 4 o'clock, and I'll see you then.
All right. Thank you, Miss Karen. All right, so we are also recruiting for the SLIDE team. We're currently looking for members who are interested in helping with the church slides on Sunday. It's not too hard, and if you've ever used PowerPoint, you are already close to being a certified CWOW slides expert. So the commitment will be 1 to 2 times a month for about 2.5 hours. And if you are interested, you can contact Paulina by August 2nd with your interest, or you can go down to the to the chat and throw in a chat saying that you are interested there. All right, good people. Those are our announcements today. Now I'm going to send it over to Sister Sarah for I Wonder, and then we will continue in celebration.
Hi, Godly Play Kids. It's so good to see you. Oh, I like it when you sit up close and I can talk to you and I see your faces. I miss you. Our whole church misses you. We're really proud of what we hear about you riding your bikes and doing art during this shelter-in-place time. Good job. You're very important to our church. Now, I have a question for you I'm thinking about. I wonder if you've ever been in a play. Have you been in a play? Or like a drama? Sometimes people call it that. I wonder if you, do you remember our Epiphany play way back at the beginning of the year? Do you remember your part? Did you like your part? Was it a big part or just a little part?
I've had a big part.
And did someone help you get ready for the play? Did you have any lines you had to practice? I wonder what that was like. How did your play go? Do you remember? I wonder what that was like for you. I'm thinking about it today. Okay, I'll talk to you next time. I love you.
And now we have a special surprise. This is a time of the year when every year people graduate, they get their degrees, they move on to other places, and we say goodbye to various people. This is a strange year because we are now equidistant. As I'm looking out at all of your faces, I see people on the East Coast. Like, we are in every time zone right now. So, like, moving does not necessarily mean leaving. So it's a weird time to sort of say goodbye and bless people, because someone may move and then we may see them in the very next week in a slightly different setting. And so that may be the case this week for John and Ginny, who are moving to Bellingham, Washington. Ginny got a really sweet linguistics job at Western Washington University. But we hope to see them next week anyway, in a very different setting with their same air plant that they have in front there. But what we do want to do right now is to send them off well. And since we can't sort of gather around them, many of us have made signs. So at this point, Ginny and John, we would like to send you off with all of our pre-made signs. So everybody hold up your signs, and we'll be taking screenshots, which we can send to you now, so don't send to you later. So don't feel like you have to read all of these now. We'll send you the screenshots. Everybody hold them up. There we go. So we'll be taking screenshots. We'll be scrolling through our two different screens. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was the weirdest send-off we've ever had, but let me just pray for you quickly and we'll get into our breakout groups. God, we thank you so much for John and Ginny, and God, just for how they've been a huge part of our community over these last few years. We pray for their move, Lord. We pray for traveling mercies for them and for Pistachio, for all their possessions, for their new life in Bellingham. And God, we pray that you would use us to continue to support them in their time of transition. Thank you that in various ways they'll still be with us. And thank you, God, for, Lord, even though we're separated now, we're also brought together by the power of this meeting. Thank you that your spirit will go with them, that you'll continue to use them in this new place, Lord. So we pray your blessing upon them. And we look forward to the good things that you have for them in a new place, but also in this old place of Zoom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we also want to do the same thing for our good friends Juan Manuel and Melissa. And they have already moved to Ithaca, New York. And so some of you have a sign for them. But we wanted to make it a surprise. Like, was it a surprise, John and Ginny? All right. They didn't see that we actually put that in the flow and that they could have seen it. But that's good. We did a surprise. And we will surprise John. We will surprise Juan Manuel and Melissa the next time we see them. Juan Manuel is actually a judge at So You Think You Can Dance this afternoon. So we'll see him then. But so save your sign, and we will surprise them the next time they're in celebration. So just be ready. Just keep it ready, and it'll be fun. So all right. Speaking of fun, let's break up into our breakout groups. And here is today's prompt, if you're not sure what to talk about. This is also a little warm-up for the scripture that we're going to be looking at today. And here's the question. Share with your breakout group the most memorable boss that comes to your mind, a memorable boss you've had that comes to your mind. It'll be interesting whether that boss was like an annoying, frustrating boss or an encouraging, empowering boss. But just share some story. It's one of the many ways we're using to just get to know each other. Tell the story of a memorable boss that you have had, and have a great time in your breakout groups. Welcome back, everybody. I understand that the surprise that we discussed earlier is still on. So if you can grab your second sign and be ready with it. Nice to see you, Melissa. Is Juan Manuel around? Oh, he's not. He's asleep. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You can show him the screenshots, because we've been talking about how this is the time when we say goodbye to people, but then it's also hello because you're there in Ithaca, New York. So we all just want to welcome you back right now. So everyone, pull out your signs. Melissa, we're going to take screenshots for you. And we're just so glad to still be in community with you, even though you're physically far away, but yet not, because we're all physically far away. So
I loved it. Thank you.
And well, I know you can't read all the stuff, but we'll have screenshots and we'll send it to you as well. And so then Juan can see it as well. And we'll see Juan as a judge this afternoon. So as a dance judge. So great to see you. I guess good afternoon to you in Ithaca.
Thank you.
Surprise! That's cool. All right. Awesome. The other fun thing that we've been doing this summer is, on and off, we've been hearing sacred stories, as the sign says. We've been hearing, just because I think it's so important, like as Christians, to be telling our stories, like giving testimony is something we do, which really brings us together. Even the Bible is a book of sacred stories. And so we continue in that tradition by just sharing our lives with each other and how God is at work, especially in this time of isolation where we can't hang out in the same way, and just catch up. And so this is a sort of sacred catch-up time. And so I'm really excited to introduce to you this morning Christina Punzalan, who has really been working on the front lines as a medical professional, as a nurse, for the last 4 months. And I had the privilege of just talking to her over the phone and hearing a little bit more of her story. And I'm just really excited for how God is at work in her life. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to be encouraged by how God is at work, how her workspace is a sacred space, and to get to know her a little better. So Christina, please take it away with your sacred story.
Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me? So my name is Christina, and I want to say thank you to Pastor Gary and to you, Seawell community, for giving me the opportunity to share my story. So a little bit of info about me. I was born in the Philippines. I lived there until I was 13, then moved to Boise, Idaho to live with my mom and my stepdad. Eventually, I moved to Chicago to live with my aunt and my sister. 3 years ago, I moved to the Bay Area and have been coming to Seawell since. So I've been a nurse since 2005. My aunts are nurses, and that's how I became a nurse. I initially wanted to go into fashion design, but I realized that I'm not super artistic. I didn't think drawing stick figures would cut it, so I decided to go into nursing instead. I was working in a medical surgical orthopedic trauma unit in Chicago for 12 years. And when I moved here, I started working for the city and county of San Francisco. So it's a clinic that is part of the Department of Public Health, but it's also under Zuckerberg's San Francisco General Hospital. It's the biggest county clinic that serves the low-income, the homeless community. I remember a few years ago while working in the trauma hospital, and when there was the Ebola virus outbreak. It never reached the U.S., and so it just disappeared. I thought, if it ever reached us, the healthcare community was well prepared. Now, with this coronavirus, our clinic first heard about it in February, but didn't think so much of it. They said the ones coming from the cruise ship will be going out to the hospitals far from our clinic, and there were only a few cases, and they were all contained. March came, and Governor Newsom announced the lockdown and that our nurses would be deployed in the homeless hotels and shelters. I knew then that things were not going to be the same. So a few of our nursing staff did get deployed. I was told I was staying in the clinic since they needed a few staff to stay. The first few weeks of COVID were scary. They told us not to wear masks because we were told we were giving our patients false reassurance. Then weeks later, they said everyone must wear a mask. We then started seeing patients initially with only the three main symptoms, which is cough, fever, and trouble breathing. We were triaging and not knowing what patients were carrying. Do they have the flu? Is it COVID? Or is it something else? A few weeks later, they added more symptoms. Now I think the CDC has 14. Sometimes it got so confusing with all the symptoms patients had, it was hard to keep up. And for the testing process, so our doctors would go in and test with the full PPE, and we were told to reuse the N95 masks and the face shields, which I thought was ridiculous. They said only change it when it's dirty. But how do they even know when it's dirty? These particles are so small. So many things were very uncertain. We just had to be extra careful. I always try to wash my hands, change my gloves, and change my mask. But there were a couple of times when I knew I didn't change my mask, or that the patient left after I was in the room with them and they were leaving and they forgot to tell me, oh, I have symptoms. Some nights I was literally crying out to God, how did I forget to change my mask? Or did I wash my hands long enough? Or am I going to get it since I'm always exposed? I was reminded by this passage in John chapter 16, verse 33. I've told you these things so that that in me you may have peace. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have learned to trust God daily. I know nothing is ever a surprise to him. One positive thing about this pandemic is how our clinic has handled the changes and the stress. Some days were exhausting and confusing as we were always trying to keep up and learn about the virus, working tirelessly and figuring out ways on how to protect our staff and our patients. I was assigned to help create our new drop-in workflows. I was assigned to train staff and on the changes in the ways we were seeing our patients. I work in the call centers and at times even acted as charge nurse. I know this is exactly where God wants me to be. I've enjoyed working in the hospital in the past, but serving the homeless community is really where my heart is. I work with so many amazing nurses, medical assistants, and doctors who have so much compassion for our patients. Our patients are some of the most vulnerable, but also the most appreciative people I know. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity to serve them every single day in so many ways, whether it's helping them get their meds filled, helping them look for housing, or just triaging them when they have needs. I've found so much encouragement from family and friends who are praying for me, and to you, CWOW community, who have reached out to me when I was looking for housing, or to the ones who have told me they're praying for me. It means so much to me to know that you guys are thinking of me and really makes going to work so much easier. And to this day, our clinic remains to be COVID-free. I'm reminded of this verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you with my righteous hand. Thank you, CWOW, for prayers. And please just continue to pray for our healthcare workers. We have more staff who are getting deployed as we speak. Please pray for their safety wherever they may end up. I'm sure these few months have been difficult for everybody, and in these times, there are still things that are uncertain. But I will continue to trust God every day and hang on to his many promises. So there's this quote I found by Alexander McLaren. He says, "Peace is not found in the absence of storm, but in the presence of God." Thank you, everyone, for listening to my story.
Hi, CWOW. Will you join me now as I pray for Christina? God, we thank you so much for Christina's story and just seeing the your power and your protection in her story. Thank you for all the ways you have guided and walked alongside Christina in her entire profession as a nurse. And thank you for protecting her, bringing her many great colleagues and teammates at work, and giving her this passion for serving and bringing her comfort in many times as well. Psalm 18:32 says, "It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights." God, we ask that you would continue to arm Christina with strength as she walks into work every day in this particularly defeating season of COVID. And we ask that you would be a healer for her and her fellow frontline workers as they continue to help to serve and heal those who are in really vulnerable and traumatized situations. And we ask for your peace and joy in her life. And we also ask for healing and comfort to all those who are suffering and sick, and as well as their families who are trying to get through this time. Jesus, we need you we just need you so much. We need you so much during this season in so many ways. And just, we thank you for Christina's story and the ways that you, you've highlighted for us today how you've walked alongside her. Pray that this would bring peace and comfort to many. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
God, I want to echo Joyce's prayer and continue just to, God, that we want to thank you for Christina and for people like her in her clinic and elsewhere that are bringing your word and your love and your presence into the very difficult space of healthcare in the midst of a pandemic. That God, your presence in those places is what's keeping Christina sane, but God, that spreads to the whole clinic and spreads to everybody else who passes through the clinic, and to everyone who just gets a little piece of your love and your presence and your healing in a time like this when it's so hard to hope. God, I want to open up this prayer also to every frontline worker in healthcare in the Bay Area and across the US, especially people who are researching, who have the chance to turn this around for us, especially people like Christina who are serving the poor, the vulnerable, and the infected, who have less access and less ability to protect themselves. God, thank you for the people that come alongside and protect them. And God, we also pray for everybody who is on the front lines in just education, food service, but especially healthcare, where there's just direct service and direct protection. God, would you give them your protection? And just the blessing of your peace in such a chaotic time. Jesus, in your name, amen.
A reading from Luke 19, 11 through 26. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, do business with these until I come back. But the citizens of his country hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be summoned so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. He said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, and you rule over 5 cities. Then the other came saying, Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could have collected it with interest. He said to the bystanders, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Loretta. Thanks, Christina, and all who prayed. I want to reflect on this passage as we continue in our journey through Luke, as Jesus nears Jerusalem now and tells this story, with a question that's kind of related to our earlier breakout questions about your boss. And that's just a question like, who encourages you? Who encourages you in your life? Who says to you, good job, and you like really feel it? Encouragement is such a strange thing that where people can say the same words and it'll have a different effect, it'll have a different power. And for me, when I think of like, well, who's encouraging to me? The first human I think of, it's actually my mom. She's really had that role in my life for many years. I'm sure that as a teenager, I couldn't really receive it. But as we've been moving on in life, she's just really good at encouraging me when I'm down. So much so that now as an adult, I feel like I really have to be careful to not just call my mom when I'm like sad and I need encouragement, because like it's a two-way relationship. As in, you know, I need to like be encouraging her too. And I don't just want to be like, you know, I call her and like, hey, mom, she's like, what's wrong? You know, but I feel like she's so good at it. It's easy to sort of do that. The other person that is a real encouragement to me that I think of, like when I'm down and I need to be lifted up and I can rely on it, and I feel like I'm not going to drag that other person down, or it's not going to, you know, produce an impatient response like, oh, we don't want to hear your problems again. I'm very aware of sort of not wanting to put my problems on people. So the other encourager in my life is actually the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Like, I feel like the Holy Spirit in my life is a person that is always present with me, that I have access to, that I can just go to. I feel like, I don't know how Jesus feels about Jesus' relationship with me. Like, oh, here he comes again to complain about something and I'll have to encourage him. It's totally one-way relationship. But I feel like I'm just so grateful for like the words that we hear in this passage. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I just want to reflect especially and really highlight and really emphasize in this brief reflection we do on this passage, how the Holy Spirit can say to us and wants to say to us and is saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And how, especially at this time, we really need to hear that just to kind of make it through. And we need that freedom to come to Jesus and to have Jesus be our encourager and to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So how do we see that in this text? Well, let's kind of look through the text really quickly here. And I would say that as we look at this parable is a little bit like other parables that Jesus has been telling in Luke. For example, do you remember that other parable where Jesus says, like, you know, you should pray without ceasing, you should pray aggressively and perseveringly, because it's kind of like this unjust judge who doesn't care about anybody, but this widow comes and like bothers him so much with her petitioning, he's like, okay, fine, I'll give in to you. And in that parable, Jesus says, if even this unjust judge is responsive to persistent prayer, how much more will your Father in heaven, who actually loves you? And I feel like this passage in the same way is like saying, like, if even this like colonialist nobleman who is just amassing power is rewarding his slaves, his servants, with justice and generosity, how much more will Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus who is inside of you, how much more will the Holy Spirit sort of validate you, encourage you, and say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? So I think the other interesting thing to notice in this parable, besides, you know, the idea that Jesus is like the nobleman, but like even more, you know, he's not Jesus as a nobleman, as our Lord, is creating an upside down kingdom, not a kingdom of power and oppression, and inviting us into that kingdom. And so the other interesting thing about this passage that I kind of want to point out is you'll notice here on the slide that he summons 10 of his slaves and he gives them 10 pounds. He gives each one the same thing. And a pound is about 4 months' salary for a typical laborer. So it's not that much. It's actually pretty small. For this rich person to be giving out these different amounts is, the same amount to everybody. It's really an emphasis on the kind of smallness of the investment that he is making in them. If you think about the passage in Matthew, like Jesus tells the same story according to Matthew in a little bit different way. And in that parable, the nobleman gives all his servants a different amount. Some he gives 10, some he gives 5, some he gives 2, some he gives 1. So I think like the Matthew passage sort of emphasizes the different amount of talents or opportunities or giftings or even money that we all sort of have. And that there's a sense of which like God's expectations of us are proportionate to what we've received. In this one, though, it's a sense of like everybody has received just a little bit. And I think it's striking because this sort of receiving a little bit actually speaks into what the meaning of life is for us. Because the context of this parable is, you can see he summons his slaves, he gives them this little bit. He says, do business with us until I come back. He's going to go off and get his kingdom, then he's going to come back. And in a sense, that's like a picture of where we are in 2020. Like the king is away. Like Jesus is away. Jesus has come. He's been raised from the dead. He's inaugurated the kingdom of God. But the kingdom is sort of now in process, right? I don't know if you've ever made like a big deposit in your checking account and you really need it to clear so that your checks don't bounce or something. And you look online and it says in process. You're like, ah, process. Can you please process? It sort of feels like that now. We're in this in-between time where the king has given us a little bit to do business now. And the king is away, but the king is going to come back. And the fullness of the kingdom will come. The kingdom is now sort of in process. And that's like the meaning of life. The meaning of life is we are working to build up the kingdom, to respond to the little things that God has given us as faithfully as we can. And in that space, I think the nobleman, or in this case, the Holy Spirit of Jesus in us, there's sort of two things we see in this parable. We see the stance of Jesus towards us in this weird in-between time where we feel like we just have a little bit to give. And if we can go to the next slide there, we see the responses of when the king comes back. And let's actually go to the next slide. Thank you, Paulina. We see him in a conversation with the first two slaves. And we see here, first of all, that even though it looked like the nobleman just gave them a little bit, just kind of 4 months and you guys can invest this and see what happens, really the nobleman has had big plans for these slaves, right? He has had big plans for them. In fact, his plans were for them to actually rule with him in his new kingdom. So this little amount, this one little pound that they had to work with, the first one came back and, you know, hey, he did pretty well. He invested in Tesla or something and, you know, it went way up. And he's like, look, I got 10 pounds back, which still isn't that much. And then we see the heart of the nobleman towards this particular slave. He's like, you know what? Because you've done well with this little amount, what I really want to do is put you in charge of 10 cities. All along, this ruler had big plans for his servants to actually rule with him in this new sort of this new kingdom or this new dominion that he has. 10 cities, this 10 mina turns into 10 big cities. And for the second one, it made 5. He says, you rule over 5 cities. I'm taking you that, you know, the world sees you as a slave, but really the plan is to rule alongside in this kingdom. And I think that that's a picture of God's heart for us, that in the same way, God has big plans for us, that Jesus is coming to restore and renew this whole earth. You think of the parable where Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth. the meek will inherit the earth. And those of us who are followers of Jesus, who feel like we just have a small role in this world, whether we're caring for kids or doing a job which we may or may not like with a boss that may or may not be encouraging, whether we're trying to do volunteer service, whether we're trying to do political action for the sake of justice in this world, whatever we're doing in the day to day to make a contribution, it can feel really small. And even when we're trying to do it to honor Jesus and to work for the common good, it can feel small. But this parable shows us actually that Jesus has big plans for us, that the meek are to inherit the earth, that when Jesus actually does come back, as we're going to say, as you know, Ed is going to lead us in a time of communion, and he's going to say that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ is coming again. And in that moment when Christ comes to make everything back, there, Jesus has big plans for us. And the small work that we do now, like I think about, you know, that's why I appreciate so much Christina's story, talking about the kind of the work that she does every day, showing up at Zuckerberg Hospital in San Francisco and working with homeless folks and supporting them and like taking phone calls and like remembering to change her PPE and working with the other nurses and doctors. And that work that she does every day deeply matters to Jesus. And that her faithfulness in that is really part of preparing her to be part of the meek who will inherit the earth and who will have a part of ruling alongside Jesus our Lord as Jesus comes back to restore everything and make everything right. And in a time of just really bad news and in a time of just grinding everything out, it's important to remember that Jesus has big plans for us. Jesus has plans for us to rule over 5 cities and 10 cities. That's the first little point. The second little point is also we can see in this passage, well done, good slave. I kind of like the way it's said in the Matthew passage, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I think the second point, besides the idea that, you know, Jesus has big plans for you and that the small things you do today are preparing you for these big things. I think also, though, the Spirit of Jesus is just wanting to really encourage us every single day. That there's a way in which even today, even tomorrow, this work week, right when you need it, the Spirit of Jesus just wants to whisper to the deep parts of your heart, well done, good and faithful servant. And I feel like, at least for me, I'm not really in a place many times of feeling encouraged or feeling uplifted. I feel like in some ways our world conspires against encouragement. Even if you look at sort of the structure of the market system or the its whole job is to try to get the most out of you as possible. And that can lead to feeling like either being overwhelmed and stressed out on one hand. Like I feel like, oh, there's more than I can do. I'm stressed out. What should I be doing? And then especially in a time of COVID when many of us are working from home, we're certainly parenting from home, those of us that are parents, it's sort of 24/7 and there's just no lines, right? And so it's easy to feel overwhelmed and stressed out. Or on the other hand, it's easy to feel in our jobs, in our family life, in our work, to be sort of useless or bored. You know, those of us who have had pay cuts or who have been furloughed or who have lost jobs, who are trying to start new things, but it's not taking off yet. It's easy to feel sort of useless on the other hand. And so things can swing back and forth between being overwhelmed and stressed out or like useless and bored. But where is that place in the middle where the small work that we do now is validated and encouraged? And where we hear the voice saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And I just believe that in all of our lives, this passage is telling us, Jesus is saying, I want to be that person for you. I actually, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it is possible to receive on a daily basis the little echo of the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, just saying, you know what? You know what you really need to hear right now? You just need to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I just believe God wants to tell you that. And I'm really appreciative in our church that there are people that can sort of help us hear the voice of the Spirit like that. Because whether you feel like you're a super prayer warrior and a mystic, as it's describing in Luke or not, I really believe it's possible to be able to get in touch with the voice of the Spirit, for you to experience God the way I sort of experience my mom, who's just there for you when you need it. And in that place of discouragement, even if it's like every day or every hour, God comes back and lifts you up. So if you long for a relationship with Jesus like that, but maybe that's felt elusive, I would encourage you to get prayer in our prayer ministry. I would encourage you to talk to people like Tracy or Lynn or me or Sharon, people who really desire to connect us personally with Jesus on a one-on-one kind of thing. I just have a tremendous amount of hope that we can know Jesus in a growing way, in that way. And I think that's the spirit of this passage too. And then finally, I think we can be that for each other, that we really can be an echo of that encouraging voice of Jesus that says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And you know, I feel like for me, and a lot of us have these experiences, for me right now in this church, my spiritual direction group is a voice that says to me, well done, good and faithful servant, that says to me, you know, when I'm either feeling stressed out and overwhelmed on one hand, or sort of, you know, bored and kind of like useless on the other hand, I feel like I come to my monthly spiritual direction group and I sort of share how it's going in life. And they listen to God for me when maybe I can't hear myself. And they just speak those words of encouragement. They do their best to hear from God and speak that into me. And so I would just encourage you too to ask the question, like, how are you leaning into community in this season? Like, do you have the audacity to believe that we can actually grow in community, that you can receive the encouragement of this community, maybe more than what it was in February, that we can actually grow in encouraging each other in this time? I just want you to know that we're really committed to that. We just had an elder team meeting all day yesterday. The week before, we had a meeting with our prayer ministers as a staff. Like, I feel like we're meeting as a church and really praying and thinking about how can we grow as an encouraging community, which echoes the encouraging voice of the Holy Spirit. So just have a lot of hope for our church. And we just want to keep praying for each other, keep connecting with each other, and keep hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, which says to us just when we need it, well done, good and faithful servant. So I want to turn now to a time of worship. And for us, this is yet another opportunity to hear, it's another sort of modality for us to hear the voice, the encouraging voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Jesus, would you now come to us in worship? Would you empower Kevin to lead us? Would you fill us all with your Spirit? Would you give us ears to hear the voice of your encouraging presence in our lives? Amen.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord. shield, and I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. I will love you, Lord, my strength, and I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns forever all my days. Hallelujah.
One more time.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns forever all my days. Hallelujah. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. In our soul. sights to see. Give us a heart to love. Give us the will to strive. To draw close to you. To draw close to you. I need more of your Holy Spirit in my life. It's only you can rekindle the fire that's burning down in our souls. I need more of your Holy Spirit in my life. It's only you can rekindle the fire that's burning down in our souls. Oh, 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 oh.
Morning. My name is Dana. I'm one of the prayer ministers here at CWOW, and I wanted to give just a little sort of instruction about how we do prayer ministry here at Church Without Walls, as well as an encouragement to prayer. So as Gary mentioned, we do the prayer ministers and others who want to join meet before church to pray for the service and to listen for particular words that might be an invitation to come and to receive prayer. But I also wanted to mention, Gary mentioned that we had that meeting all the prayer ministers about a week ago. And I just wanted to say how encouraging it was to share with one another at that meeting about what the prayer experience has been like. You know, we had a little bit of a rough go when we transitioned to Zoom and trying to figure out how to make that a space that felt really sacred and invitational for people. And I just want to encourage for folks who I feel maybe like reluctant, like what will that be like or anything like that, that it's really been a lovely and sacred space. And so just to come and to receive prayer for anything, and it doesn't have to be something, one, that I mention, two, that is related to the sermon, three, very big. It could be for anything that's going on for you. But we did have some prayer words that I wanted to share with you that were related to our time this morning. And some of them were related to the sermon. As Gary said, if you are longing to connect with that sort of that voice of the Holy Spirit that provides a word of encouragement for you, that that feels very like that feels like something you want to experience, but have you've struggled with that. There's an invitation for you to come to receive prayer. But there's also a prayer word too that was really about maybe feeling a little bit more like that third slave, the servant, who was sort of like, oh, you're a harsh man, and so I'm just going to hide this coin, that you may have sort of a sense of who God is that may be filtered by your experiences of in the past or by rumor, as it says in the story, or whatever, that makes you feel like, oh, there's a barrier for me that I am afraid of or feel reluctance to engage with this. I'm not going to take the risk. And you feel that sort of even in a kind of an unconscious or sort of like a kind of in a gut way or a head way to really come to receive prayer. And the third word was about, it's come up actually a lot in our prayer meetings about really God calling us to experience him in our bodies. You know, whether it's worshiping him or encountering him or experiencing him in other ways, that God is really inviting us into a time where our bodies feel like we may have odd relationships with our bodies in these days, that there's an invitation for you to come if that's a word that resonates with you as well. The way we receive prayer is there's a link in the chat box. You can go to that and it'll send you to a different Zoom meeting where you will meet with a set of prayer ministers who will pray with you. And let me introduce the prayer ministers to you as well. The first one is Abby Jensen. Hey, Abby. And then Bora Reed. There she is. And Ron Sum and myself. And I did print up a sign, but I seem to have not brought it with me to this computer. So anyways, and me as well. So thank you. And we'll see you in prayer. Thanks.
Hello. I'll be leading us into our time of communion. So here at Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from any background to come and share at the table. If for some reason you don't feel like communion is the right step or the right step for you, we encourage you to sit and observe and take this time to ask God where he is present to you. Communion is communal, and given our current environment, some of us might find it difficult to serve communion and to be served by another, but we trust that God will meet you wherever you are at, and he is here in our presence as it is. So if you would like to participate in communion, we will have you serve communion to one another. First the bread, and then your juice or wine or water, as Kevin leads us into our communion song. So we celebrate that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus had a meal with his disciples, and during the meal he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup. And he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we celebrate and proclaim Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and that he is coming again. Please extend your hands over your communion elements as I pray for them. Holy Spirit, come upon this bread and this cup and make them your very real presence. And Holy Spirit, you are our encouragement. Lead us to build up your upside down kingdom, and may we be faithful in the little things. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of joy and faith.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows, living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah, yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Thank you. wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing, the King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you.
Such a joy to see everybody this morning, and especially I now see that Juan Manuel is with us again. Welcome back, Manuel. Let's all hold up our signs again for Juan. Well, did you guys get a screenshot yet? Juan, Melly? They're coming soon. So screenshots, we're so glad to have you with us and to still be connected despite our physical distance. So good to see you. All right. So good to see you. So good to see everyone. And let's be sent out with the blessing and encouragement of the Holy Spirit of Jesus as we now go. Let's be in a posture with our bodies, as Dana mentioned, to receive the blessing and encouragement of the Holy Spirit now. See you out this week. The Holy Spirit says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.